Go for Growth Show, powered by Beepo.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining the show today. This is the Go for Growth Show, and my name is Mark Engelman, your host. And on today's show, I've got Scott Thomas with me. He's a co-founder of a business called Creatively Squared. Welcome, Scott.
Ooh, thanks for having me.
No worries. So, Scott, I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit about Creatively Squared later on in the interview, but I thought we'd get into something that I certainly see you as a bit of an expert in. So prior to Creatively Squared, you worked as a management consultant, and in particular, an area of focus was or is the Lean Startup methodology. Can you talk the audience through the basics of what Lean Startup is?
Sure. So the basics of Lean Startup is to hypothesis test everything. So only build what you need to and test the most important aspects of your business model with your customers before you build anything. So really at its core, it's a risk reduction tool. How do you make sure you're building the right thing for the right people the right way without spending too much time and more importantly money building the wrong thing?
Yeah, cool. And so how do you test something that doesn't exist with customers that don't exist either?
So there's a lot of making stuff up and sort of facades to use. But I mean, at its basis, it's really just the scientific method applied to business problems. So come up with a hypothesis and then test it and work out what the result was. So as an example, if you wanted to build a new platform for a marketplace, one option is to go and outsource that to a team and build something that might cost you $5 million, and then you put that out to the market and then see if it works. I wouldn't advise doing that, but that's how things were done a lot of the time previously. So an alternative option is to build a quick and dirty landing page. So you put a website up, it looks like the real thing, and you get people to sign up and test, would people actually come to this site and use it? And that might cost you an hour and $20. At the end of the day, you learn the same information. One just costs you significantly more than the other. So that's kind of the idea behind it. Tests as cheaply and as quickly as possible.
Yeah, cool. And so, you know, people might look at Lean Startup methodology and they might think, well, you know, I've already been in business for a couple of years. I'm no longer really in startup mode. It's really not that relevant to me. But, you know, from my point of view, you know, I'm a business owner as well. And we're always thinking about new sort of directions we can take our business. Is there any sort of application for Lean Startup methodology in existing well-established businesses?
I think it's applicable to all areas of all businesses in certain ways. So, I mean, the basic tenet of coming up with an idea, working out you can test it quickly and cheaply to see if you're right or not, and then if you are, then implementing, I think that applies everywhere. You don't have to necessarily follow the Lean Startup, the book and the methodology word for word. And there's an aspect of gut feel and experience in working out what to test. But at the end of the day, working out, here's what I think we should do, how do we test that, validate that it's correct before we move on to the next thing, is applicable everywhere.
Yeah, cool. And what do you think some of the challenges would be or would be facing businesses looking at implementing Lean Startup?
In larger businesses rather than startups?
Or both.
So I think that the larger and older the business is, it's the pace, it's the biggest challenge and the risk. So it is literally each day as a startup, it's here's an idea, I'm going to test it in the next hour, see what the result is, move on to the next thing. In some traditional companies, that might be, I've got an idea, I'm going to put that forward to be reviewed and then approved, and then sometime in 6 months we might get to testing it. But at the end of the day, that's what you're competing with these days, new entrants to the market. So it's the pace of work that's the biggest challenge for large businesses. And on the flip side, as a startup, you do have to consider some of the risks when you're doing these things. It is good to move quickly and learn as fast as you can, but sometimes you need to consider what the repercussions of that are if you get it wrong.
Yeah, for sure. And can you give some examples of, you know, you gave the landing page example before, and, you know, I know previously you coordinated the Lean Startup Challenge with UQ and Era Innovation, and I mentored one of the teams there. So you've had a fair bit of practical exposure to, you know, people going through this methodology. Yep. Can you give any other examples of how, you know, the sorts of things people do to engage with, you know, potential markets and try and get an understanding of whether or not their product or service has really got legs and is something that they should progress with?
Sure. So I think the obvious example where it's used mainly is in software development and in tech startups, where you can put a website up, you can put the or you can develop a wireframe of an app rather than an actual app, put that in front of somebody and get feedback on how it works and whether they'd use it. That's the most useful example. That's where it's often used primarily. But I think you can apply the tenets to other areas too. So for example, we did a project on a snack food, a new snack food for a company when I was with Era. So rather than going and developing the snack food, and it's sort of a new market that was opening up more so in the States than Australia, we just went and imported a bunch of the products from the States, put some different labels on it to work out, would it resonate? What yeah. texture did people like? What packaging did they like? And that cost us a couple hundred dollars to put some food and drinks on. So the idea behind it works everywhere, I think. It's just how do you apply it to different industries? Again, it's just coming over to how do you test something quickly, cheaply, and learn as fast as possible.
And at what point? So I imagine some of the listeners today would be wondering, so what point do I stop the testing? And do I sort of, you know, pull the trigger and take this thing to market?
Yeah. So how long's a piece of string? it is tricky, but what you find, it's not necessarily a number, but you work out what you want to test and who you want to test with. And once you've been doing it for a while, it does come from experience. You start to hear the same things over and over. And that might be from 10 interviews. So you try something, you hear the same thing 10 times in a row. You pretty much know what the answer is going to be then. Yeah. Other instances where I've tried something and you might put it in front of 50 people and you get 4 or 5 different perspectives coming from all of those. And then you have to go and refine what you're testing and sort of take that into account. So it's not necessarily a number or a time period. It's more of a saturation point where you start hearing the same thing. And then you know you're onto something.
And I guess there's a whole, throughout that testing phase, there's a whole bunch of different variables that you need to keep your eye on. It's not just the product or the service that you've created, but the people that you're actually getting to test it,
exactly.
i.e. your market, right? So you said before that you might get 4 or 5 different perspectives out of a group of 50, and you might go, well, let's get 50 more people like the 5 people that said that this is great. And see if we can niche this into a different market.
Yep, exactly. And you might start off a little bit wider and then work out we're hearing the same thing from these types of people, and they might be, it's not necessarily demographics where it's age or location or gender or anything like that, but it's people who have the same problem. And then you sort of narrow in on that.
Yeah, cool. And so we always, you know, in marketing, we always hear about, you know, talk to the business's problem or the individual's problem that you're trying to solve, and you know, the days of just advertising the sort of features and benefits of a particular product are over. So I think, you know, from that lean startup point of view, that's a really interesting way to not only get your product and service right, but the way that you market that as well.
Yep, definitely. That's another tricky part of it too, where asking the right questions and not being influenced by what your solution is. So we've got some examples with what we do at Creatively Squared, where we create images and visual content for companies. So we don't go to them asking, you know, how do you create your visual content? We ask them, you know, what are your biggest challenges with digital marketing?
Yeah.
And ideally, hopefully they're coming back and saying, well, it's creating content, but it might not be. So that's also something you need to take into account and not influence the answers.
Yeah, cool. So onto Creatively Squared, can you tell me a bit about what you guys do and how you're helping customers?
Sure. So what we do is we create custom visual content for brands, and we do that in a cost-effective manner by partnering with semi-professionals and talented social media users. So traditionally, if you wanted to create creative images or visual content, you would go to either a photographer, which is probably going to cost a fortune, and you might have to set up a set and get props and all kinds of other stuff. Or smaller businesses will probably take the photos themselves, which obviously has impacts on quality and it takes a lot of time. So what we do is go out to, we've got a community of 13,000 people almost now on Instagram around the world.
Yeah, wow.
And they're all really creative, talented people. Often have, you know, they might not be fully, they might be stay-at-home mums, or they might have freelancers, but they've got sort of a bit more time on their hands, and we just partner with them and work out who has a good fit for your brand or your style. Mm-hmm. And then we get those people to create the images for you. So it's outsourcing that.
Yeah, okay. And is it purely for Instagram?
It's not for Instagram. So the content can be used anywhere. So a lot of our clients do primarily use the images for social media, and that's where they're best used. But they're also used for advertising, for websites. The quality of most of the images is, to be honest, really, really impressive. So we are getting more requests for them to be used for, you know, print campaigns or, you know, other areas as well. But the bread and butter is for social media use, because we can create good-looking content at scale for an affordable price.
Yeah, okay, cool. And that digital space is just, it's, you know, like if you're not in it at the moment as a business, then yeah, you're kind of not, no one knows you if you're not doing, you know, digital and marketing and engaging with, you know, your social channels.
Yep.
So it's really great to see that, you know, you guys are providing another option there for business owners who may not be that savvy with social media and the digital world.
Yep.
Can you talk to me a little bit about, you know, who is the market, the target market for Creatively Squared?
Sure. So I'll be upfront and honest, we've only been going since the start of the year, so we're investigating a number of markets, but most of our customers at the moment are e-commerce customers. So they're Shopify store owners or big commerce store owners. So product-based stores where they're selling something and they need to create content for social media or their website for their store. You want to keep that fresh and interesting and exciting rather than doing that yourself. We can just provide a constant stream of really good looking images of your products.
Yeah, cool. And so have you implemented any lean startup sort of thinking into Creatively Squared, given that it is in the early days?
Yeah, definitely. So all the secrets behind what we do, but so rather than going and building a platform, which we could have done to start with, we just built a simple website and put up, here's what we do. And that's kind of what runs things at the moment. Over the past few months, we've added bits and pieces to it, added a little bit of tech and sort of some other plugins that automate a lot of the processes in the background. But at the end of the day, it's still just a website we built ourselves because we wanted to test that, one, what our market was and that what we're providing is actually going to resonate before we go down the path of building something, a dedicated platform. So that's definitely been our approach from the start, to only build what we need to learn the most from the market.
Yeah, it's when I think about lean startup, I know that there is a very sort of clear process that's written in the textbooks and all that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, in my mind, it's more of a mindset, and it's more about, testing and trialing and understanding when you should just stop going down one path because it's not working and then change tact and go down another. Is that something that, you know, you guys are doing now Creatively Squared?
Yeah, definitely. So I mean, really what it's about is being led by your customers rather than your own gut feel. So you could build something and say, you know, it's the wrong market, they just don't get it, and keep going down that path. But at the end of the day, the value you create has to be in the eyes of your customers, not yourself. So we're constantly testing things and changing things. Often they're small things. Sometimes they're larger items, but we've got a list of things that we're testing and trialing. And the other part, to do that well, you need to have partners and customers that are willing to help you on that journey too. So that's one of the really cool, fun things about sort of building a new business is people, especially with other businesses that are typically small, up-and-coming businesses, everyone's out to help each other and work out what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, definitely. And so what's the future going to look like for the new business for Creatively Squared?
Oh, I wish I could tell you. So we've had a pretty busy month. I've only gone full-time in the business a month ago. We won the Creative 3 event. Over to Copenhagen next month to represent Australia as the leading creative tech business. So that'll be exciting and get us in front of a lot of people over there. Yep. We're also participating in the Virgin Startup Program over there. So we've got a lot on our plate with those programs. We're also out there talking to as many marketing managers, social media managers, and e-commerce stores as possible to really work out how we can provide the best service to them and what that service looks like and what the problem is that we're solving.
Yeah,
we'll go from there.
Yeah, awesome. That sounds exciting that you're winning these, you know, these competitions and awards and being nominated to represent Australia. What's the overseas competition you're going to?
It's called the Creative Business Cup.
Yeah.
It's been going for a number of years now. And what they do is they take one national winner from each country and you go over there and it's basically a pitch competition. So you get up there in front of a lot of investors and VCs and sort of startup people from Europe and around the world. And we'll see how we go. But hopefully what we're building and where we want to take it resonates with people.
Yeah, cool. Cool. And that's super exciting. You'll have to keep us updated on that. We're almost there. So second last question, what's your top business growth tip for businesses looking to scale fast?
Well, I wish I had one at the moment. what we've done the 9 months we've been in business is we've validated this is a problem for businesses, is creating content. It used to be you do one big campaign and now you need to constantly be creating stuff and putting it out, especially on social media to keep people engaged. So we've validated that as a problem. The focus for us over the next 12 months is, right now that we know that, how do we turn that into a platform that scales? So that's we've got a list of ideas to test, and you know, we're partnering with people that have been there and done that before that can help us on that journey. And that's one of the great things about the startup ecosystem in Brisbane and Australia, everywhere really. Everybody's trying to help each other. To be honest, I don't know what the best growth tips are. I know how to go from idea to something that might work. But hopefully we can come back and have a second interview in 12 months' time and I'll tell you these are the two things that work best.
We did. No, but I think you raised a really good point. I think a lot of business owners think that they're a little bit alone sometimes out in the wilderness and they don't have anyone to talk to or to help or assist them in their business. And I really think partnering with like-minded people. And, you know, like you said, Australia is great. Australia as a country is really supportive of startups. And I think that, you know, going to, you know, the incubators like River City Labs or joining a business community is great for the helping, you know.
And that probably is the greatest tip at the moment.
You
can feel alone some days when it's just you or a couple of people trying to build something, but just reach out to people and you'll be, if you haven't done that yet, you'll be shocked at messaging somebody and saying, I need your help on LinkedIn or Twitter, whatever it may be. Most of the time they'll come back and not expect anything, which is probably the best thing about being in the startup scene.
Cool. And last question, have you been using any new technology or applications or services that have really made your life easier or helped you with the business?
The one that I'm using the most at the moment is probably Zapier. Zapier is a tool that allows you to connect basically any piece of software to another one. So I've been using that quite a bit. We recently switched over to Airtable. We used to use Google Sheets to manage all our spreadsheets. And they're a new startup out of San Fran that are growing quite quickly, but that tool is really, really useful. So a little bit back and sort of managed on that now. But it can get a little bit addictive. Like there's always a new tool and something you could save you time that you could plug in. But yeah, they're the ones we've sort of used the last 2 weeks. And the other one probably is Drift. So we use that for live chat on our website. So anybody can jump on a website and chat with us and that goes straight through, in our cases, to our mobile phones. It allows us to sort of have that conversation with the customer at the time they're on the website rather than getting back to them days later by email. It's really easy to use and that's been a really big help to our business.
Yeah, cool. Can you talk to me a little bit more about Airtable? How's that different from, you know, Excel and Google Sheets?
Yeah, I think it's the way that it plugs into other services. So, you know, for instance, when somebody signs up for our services, either to create the images as a stylist on our website or to buy images, we've got a form that goes straight through to that Airtable. And then we can also take the data in that, we can manipulate it and then send that to other services. And there's sort of what you might call processes that other companies use. So they've created a process where this Airtable does XYZ and you can copy that and use that. It's not only what you've created to do with it, you can also use templates that other companies have used which saves you a lot of time. And you know, there's ones on there I wouldn't even have thought that, you know, about handling things that way, but that we'll look at using. So it's kind of that, like a lot of these, like Slack, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, putting yourself at the center of all the other services. I think they're trying to do that with spreadsheets rather than just being a standalone product, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's cool. There's all these apps out these days that kind of, you know, make it so much easy for people that aren't sort of software developers and coders to sort of integrate into other services. And, you know, I know we use Zapier a fair bit, and that's great. So that's always good to hear about new ones.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. One of the things I just wanted to highlight there is you don't need to be a tech person to have a tech startup. I've got a business background, and partner Root's got a creative background. Yep, we're listed as Australia's leading creative tech startup. Toy gap we need to fill longer term. But I mean, it is possible to get started and do quite a bit these days just with plug and play and drag and drop services.
Yeah, no, totally. All right, well, I don't have any more questions, Scott. Thanks for your time, and thanks for coming on the show. I'd love to catch up in 12 months' time and see how Creatively Squared's going, and see how you go at these startup competitions that you've been sort of nominated for and you're going to the next level at.
Yeah, for sure.
So thanks for coming on the show, and I'll talk to you soon.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
The Go for Growth Show, powered by Beepo.